welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook. I'm your host for episode 445, and I am joined by Mr. Christopher Hyde. How are you, Chris?
Hello, buddy. I'm all right. I'm feeling good. Ready for this on a lovely Friday afternoon?
Yeah, it's a bit of a different one. Doing it on a Friday instead of a Thursday for reasons. Wouldn't you say, Christopher White? How are you, mate? All right?
TikTok, it's podcast o'clock.
Because I'm in mourning a little bit over Taskmaster's ending. Like I don't know why it's got to me this late in the day, but like that's been a real friend to me every Thursday night.
Yeah,
and
I
like
agree.
Showing the next set of characters as well was like set of characters. They're real people. I don't know why I said characters. It's like saying with a set of characters, but like it really,
It was exceptional this season.
Yeah,
it might
be one of the best ones actually.
I'm good.
Well, we've got plenty of games to talk about, but in terms of preamble, if we want to break it right down, I want to talk to you about food, if that's all right, chaps.
Always happy to talk food, mate.
Okay. It's just I've got something on my chest that I kind of want to get off.
Literally, or?
No, I'm not going to be sick on camera or anything like that. There's something I've been thinking about for a little while now, and what's the point of Cress?
I don't know what I was expecting to ask, but I don't. I mean, it's just grass, isn't it? It's crap grass.
Right. So my wife informed me. Sorry, my wife informed me that you can buy Cress, like in supermarkets.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're selling you grass to eat. Like this isn't.
I don't know. I suppose it just fluffs up your sandwich a bit if you're one of them.
But what sandwich?
Egg and cress sandwich, I imagine.
What else?
No,
what
I know. That's the only time.
Is there?
Yeah, no, that's
beef and cress, ham and cress, cheese and cress.
You've never had any of those. You're just saying
ingredients.
No, you have not. Have you
made them or have you had them like?
No, I've made and had.
So you've gone. I fancy a cheese and cress sandwich.
Yep.
Why?
Don't know, just because I haven't, and I just thought I'd pull your leg.
It's egg and cress, right?
I have a fucking cress. I haven't had cress since I was a kid,
and like I was thinking about the
you used
food.
To grow it, didn't you, at school?
This is exactly it. Is that the entire being, the reason? It's raison d'être. Is it for school kids to grow on your mum's windowsill?
Raison, I suppose so. Because there is no point to it. You don't see bloody Aston Blumenthal making a crest.
Listen,
flamp.
This is what I'm saying. If they sell it in a supermarket, that means there are factories, you know, people whose job is to grow cress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably, I mean, they maybe have other things on the farm. I guess it would be a farm. Would it be a farm?
Massive
is it just a
farm.
Great big, like, mile long windowsill? No, they're not greenhouse. No greenhouses involved. It's just windowsills. Cress must be grown on a windowsill. And I just, maybe. It's been burning inside of me.
Maybe I'll research it for next week.
It's pointless, I think. Like, I just don't think it has any taste either. That's the other thing. Like,
it's like if you like egg, which I know you don't, so this is a touchy subject, I know. But if you like egg mayo, it's like, well, I just want it to sort of taste a little bit like someone's thrown it in a bush before I eat it. So it's got a
bit of
cress
in there. I get the thing, like, that's it. Exactly. It feels like you've just got...
That's the noise. That's exact noise. Yeah. That's sort of. Yeah. Sort of noise. But like, also, dogs eat grass when they want to be sick, and cress is basically like posh grass, isn't it? Is that what it is? Well, is it the caviar thing of like, oh, I like caviar, I'm posh? Like, is cress just a posh person's way of eating grass?
I don't think that's fair.
No.
Are you a secret crossaholic?
Chris.
Yeah.
Chris likes cress on his crisp sandwiches. Do you like cress?
I can't remember. I've had it. You had it like 25 years ago. I can't remember it. Well, that's very specific.
It was a long time ago. So if it was on a salad, I wouldn't like throw it on the floor. But I'd never demand cress in any meal whatsoever.
But my question to you is, has anyone ever requested cress? Like, whoever does the shopping in your house, like, for example, my wife does
it. You have watercress. Like, that's different, isn't it?
That's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever said, like, oh, is there anything you want from shopping this week, my darling? And she's gone, or you've gone to her, cress.
No. And quite frankly, if we ever had that conversation, well, I don't know, I'd be too surprised. Like, it's weird though. Oh, I've got a craving for Cress.
To be fair, I've not thought about it for years.
But this is the sort of thing that goes
maybe
on up here.
I should start incorporating it into my diet.
Why?
Not actual diet.
You want to pay a super? You're going to grow it or you're going to buy it?
I'm going to farm it.
Okay, I can respect.
I should have done it in lockdown. Yeah. That should have been my thing. Everyone's Cress writing farming. A book or learning to paint. I should have grown Cress. I've missed a trick.
Do you see? This is what goes on. This is the problem. I've been literally sitting thinking about Cress.
Your mind.
I would say Cress enough. It's one of those words that no longer means it. You're just like, what is? You forget
just
what it is.
Beetlejuice.
Cress.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just one of those words. Like, you know, you say it long enough or often enough, it just suddenly.
I would buy Chris Cress. Like, if you branded it. If you farmed it, Chris, and was called Chris Cress.
Well,
you
could as well.
My
Maybe
name
we should
exactly
go to business.
There we go.
Maybe we should have like shops across the country.
Yeah.
What about if you got who did the was it? Oh, Chris, who did the song Chris Cross?
Don't know.
You make jump, and you could have Chris Cress will make you
jump.
Right?
Jump.
Who was that?
Dirty Mac will make you.
That's the song we've already.
You know what I mean? Like Chris Cress will make you plump. I don't know. Like it's got to be something similar, but not that.
I just heard what you said, you dickhead.
No, because it's just like, hey, listen.
No, he's just funny.
It's
a nice play on words. Well done, it's,
mate.
We talk about games.
Do we have to? Because this has taken me a week to come up with this material, and I'm a little
bit. Good. It's good.
I feel like we could get another 8 minutes out of it. We've only got 8 minutes on Chris so far this week on the gaming podcast. So it's like,
can't wait for the timestamp.
Oh, Jesus Christ, it's just going to say 1 minute to 8 minutes, Cress. I will do that. People are going to think it's like some fancy indie game. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
That's the secret. In fact, there probably is an indie game called Cress. Yeah.
Maybe there's a segue coming.
Is there? Because I haven't thought that far in advance.
Oh, no. I'm not good. I can't go from Cress.
You genuinely thought I had a segue to get from Cress to Knockout City?
I thought so. I thought
that's the whole reason for these 8 minutes is because
I assume that he really wanted to talk about Cress, but then I thought, with that conversation, maybe he's thought about that as well. Otherwise, it'd just be a shit conversation about Cress.
No, this is just an abuse of power to talk about Cress on a gaming podcast for nearly 10 minutes at this point. We should talk about the most recent game that's come out, which is literally as we record this live today. I have a real problem with this name as well, because I think it sounds rude. Knockout City, it is a really, really good video game, but I can't help thinking that it's
an MMO masturbation sim.
Yes, just basically a place where everyone goes to masturbate.
Well, maybe there is. But yeah, no.
Maybe
that's in the season plan.
Thinking about Cress.
I can't stop thinking about Cress now. That's the trouble. It's Knockout City. We need to talk about Knockout City because it's a very, very good game, right?
Yeah, it is a good game.
You know,
I jumped in for a couple of matches before the pod, actually.
Yeah,
because obviously we'd had the opportunity to play it a couple of days ago, and then the servers went off, so we've not been able to get back on. So I thought, well, I'll just get back in just to see if it's still. Yeah, I'm still enjoying it just because it was quite an intense session. In Knockout City. It's a great game.
Yeah.
And I feel the way they've put that together, it's very straightforward, very simple to learn. However, there are like the nuances with the gameplay that make it like it's definitely about skill. And that's one of the things that they've done. There's no leveling up, there's no buffs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's purely based on your skill.
Yep.
So I mean, the gameplay is dead straightforward, isn't it?
You've got different
maps with kind of like there's one map with a big wrecking ball in the middle. There's another map with two skyscrapers where there's like rushes wind between them, and you can kind of jump on those to get across to the other quite fast. And there's bits like that, but the actual gameplay, all you do is run, throw a dodgeball, and catch a dodgeball, and charge into somebody. But the way that works is, you know, there's certain, like, if you're catching a ball and you press L2 at the last minute to catch it, you've kind of been given like an added boost to when you throw it against. You can curve the ball, you can lob the ball, or you can just throw it straight, but you could also charge those shots to add for added power. Your teammates can roll along the floor and you can pick them up and use them. And if they land a hit, then that's an instant knockout. And you can pass as well.
Yeah, I forgot that. I forgot that you could pass.
I didn't
entirely.
Do that once. I still haven't done it because no one wants to pass. They just want to run and get the ball and then fire. But they take place over two rounds of 10. First to 10, two rounds. This is the team KO thing, which is currently the one mode that's circulating, which will change weekly. They're going to add new modes and that kind of thing. But at the minute, it's quite empty. It will be improved upon from what they were saying. It's just a lot of fun to play. And I think with it being so simple, it makes it easier for anyone just to get into it. I find myself getting more furious when I get knocked out, like big time. And it's little things like it's quite fast. So when you can't see someone behind you, there's like a marker that appears around your screen.
Yeah,
isn't there?
Like it's kind of like the Gears of War fog of war thing.
If someone's throwing a ball from here, you'll get like a little bubble of white and then it'll hit you. Mm. But that doesn't always kick until the last minute. And if someone's behind you, it's really not clear. So you get smashed in it pisses me off. But that's the thing I will learn to get used to.
I think that's one of the things I really like about it, is that I can't remember a single match I've played where I didn't feel like the adrenaline pumping afterwards. Like win or lose, it feels so frantic. Like I feel like they've got the map sizes kind of just spot on, that you are never far from the action. And it is action. Like it feels... Like I say, every single match, I was like, oh, blimey, at the end of it, you know, I reckon my pulse rate's gone up, you know?
Hmm. I think
that's quite an achievement in itself.
It definitely does that. And I think with the way the maps are designed, they're quite compact, but they're kind of quite dense. So there's a lot kind of going on with the different jumping platforms, and there's certain, like there's one where there's a cylindrical building in the middle and the doors open and close around it. So that can, like, if someone throws a ball at you and then dashes into this building and the door closes as they go in, that's cut. It's like little things like that just add to the actual matches and creates those kind of moments. But like, it is early days, but I do think it has the potential to do really well. It's just how many people buy it, because it does feel like a Fortnite free to play where
this is the thing, and they've kind of almost positioned it like that, because the first, is it 10 days? We watched a presentation where they explained this.
Yeah.
It's free everywhere, called, I think, what do they call it?
Block Party.
Block Party, where it's free for the first 10 days for everyone, all formats. It's in-game pass. It's in-game pass. It's in EA Play. So I'm guessing if you had EA Play on PC and PS4, you also get it there. So they've kind of done everything short of saying, fuck it, it's free to play. Like, they have kind of made the game available to as many people as possible. Mm. It's completely cross-play and cross-progression. Literally, I have really no problems with the game personally, per se. The only issue I have is that I wonder, are they a big enough studio to be able to support this kind of game to the level of Fortnite, Rocket League? Because it needs that. It needs... Because it's... Chris nailed it. It is quite simple. Like, the actual game's fantastic. And it's very much, as long as you've got decent reactions, pick it up, you play, you're in, get on with it, you know?
I was going to ask about that. Like, cause obviously, it sounds and looks like really fast-paced. Is it really...
Yes.
Are the controls tight in the sense of, like, you never feel like it's catching up with you?
Okay. I felt like I wished that the character movement itself was slightly quicker. It's also got this weird thing where on the face buttons you've got triangle and circle, or Y and B, and they're both jump, but they're two different jumps and they can be used independently. So you can jump with one to keep yourself in the air, jump again. It's also got some mechanics that it doesn't really explain. So, for example, you can use your dash button to sort of shoulder barge someone who's got a dodgeball, which knocks the dodgeball in the air, and you can then get it.
Talking about that, there's a whole tutorial where Okay, yeah, but I said it because I went back into it and did it. But it's kind of like five different training sessions, which go from like the basics to your trick shots to your intercepting and passing and that kind of thing. So if you do take them, then you will understand. But I think because we were just thrown into it.
Yeah, well, I literally had time to do the first one to get the base mechanics. Then, because that's the other thing, is that they kind of got a little bit lucky, because the first match we played, I will always remember, because we basically got thrown against two of the people who made the game. Now, that obviously the game, it wasn't out, so you need to populate it with people. But it needed to kind of, I think, be not the developer. Because even though they were like clearly not going as hard as they could have, there were matches where we were just getting wiped because these people made the game.
Mm.
And it's like the experience you're giving right in that moment in one of the matches was the experience of accidentally playing the best team in FIFA. Not fun.
No.
But
clearly, I like the video game, but if this is the way it's going to work, not fun. But the matchmaking obviously will level itself out. But then... Also, it feels to me like the leveling system is based. It's like Fortnite. It's time. There must be some skill matchmaking going on. Otherwise, you could. I mean, we played against a team of three as well, didn't we?
Mm.
And
yeah, I think they will. It's all like just seeing how it goes. But like just touching on Chris's question about reflexes, there are going to be people like me who might fall off this because of that. Like yes. We all know about Call of Duty. I've talked about the fishing in Animal Crossing, how stressed I get. There will be people that won't get into this. And I think just because they don't feel quick enough, or they prefer games where there's a bit more kind of a slower pace to.
Yeah, the timing windows.
Like Fortnite. And things like Fortnite, you've got time to plan everything. Whereas Call of Duty, like multiplayer, it's very much bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
But it's not taking it like... That's personal preference. Like the game is fantastic and it's been built really well. The controls are tight. You know, the maps offer plenty of variety. With new ones going to be released over time, it does have the potential to be a big.
I totally agree. My only concern would be is like you say, you've got that aspect where it does the timing of the frames. Like it's quite generous. Like you don't have to. Like it's not a parry. I don't want people to go away thinking to catch Street Fighter parry. Yeah. It's not.
You can't just hold down.
You can do it too early and it will hit you. You can do it too late. But there's a wide window in between which there's like a really small window, which is the perfect one, which gives you some sort of... I think it instantly charges it. Because otherwise...
Because
you can just hit right trigger to throw it, but it's sort of like a, you know, like that throw instead of a, you know. So it's like...
You can also fake as well, which is amazing.
Yeah, I didn't know
that really
after.
Throws people off.
Yeah.
But you press the right analog.
Click the stick in,
fake it, and then you can throw it. And like they've already pressed like to catch.
Yeah, they've gone like that,
And then you've screwed them over, and then you launch the bot. So, yeah, there's loads of different mechanics, even though it's, you know, pretty straightforward.
I actually think the passing will come into play there as well, because if, like, when we played that team that were clearly, they'd already squatted up, and there was three of them from the squad... I found what they were doing is I was going in to go at one of them, and not only were they doing the fake thing, they were jumping up and passing it. So it was me kind of against two or three of them at once at one point, and they were just passing it, and I was like, I can't stop it. You know, I'm trying to parry it, but they've got two balls between three of them, and they're passing it, and it's like, pfft. So a coordinated team could dominate. I just, like I say, the only worry I've got is that it does require some level of skill, obviously. It is pick up and play, but... You do need to be fairly skilled sooner or later. And the other option is that I'm thinking of the audience that would be like, I guess my kids, you know, teenagers who want the new multiplayer game, they're the ones, I think, in terms of attention span, that this needs to either click straight away or it needs to kind of, I don't know, it needs to, like I say, it needs that Fortnite sort of update path. Like it needs, but it does seem they've got plans. I will say that.
Mm.
It does seem
like they're fully behind it, aren't they?
It certainly seems that way. And this is the studio, by the way. It's not actually their first game. I thought it was. It's not. They made the Mario Kart, the remote control one.
Oh, okay.
So and that's a really well-made game. So it's like, I don't know. I mean,
it's polished as well. Like, the servers are stable.
On Xbox, apparently. I tried to play on Xbox today, and it's just like, it's dead. It crashes. Right. It's not a server. It's Winterest Login. It crashes. But they'll fix that. They will. Before we move on, I did want to talk about a demo that also hit as we record this live, Scarlet Nexus. I played that today.
Yes.
Twice. I played both. So when you previewed it, obviously, I'm pretty sure you played the part of this that is in the demo, because the boss battle in it is the one where you pull down the things on its
construction
head.
Construction yard.
Yes. Yeah. Did you play as the guy or the girl or
I
both?
I played the whole thing as the guy.
Okay, so I didn't know this until I went back, because I was really kind of gutted when the demo ended, because I enjoyed it that much. It is exactly. I mean, look, I'm not going to repeat what you've said. Go and watch the preview video. It's everything Chris said. It is. It feels fantastic. Like, it's really quick. It does feel like that. It's kind of Astral Chain, but with the PsyOps stuff in it. But it's also. It's not automated, but it's automated enough that you aren't over. You're not. It's not confusing. It might be at first, but once you understand the game, it isn't.
No, it's because it's explained well, I feel.
And man, like, it's cool as well, by the way, right?
Oh, yeah.
Shit, it's cool. When you get like the left trigger finisher, oh, man, I thought, oh, well, I'll stop doing this in a minute because, you know, you don't have to do it and it takes up time. It's like, no, it's so cool. The
and there's loads of different ones as well.
Yes.
There's loads of different items that are special items that you can use with the L trigger.
Yes.
And like different prompts as well, which does make them all feel different.
Yeah.
So like, stylistically, it's amazing.
It's got so many interesting mechanics, and it does feel like that kind of Astral Chain Platinum Game Star thing. Like, I'm really impressed. What I was really impressed by beyond that, I don't know how this will work in the final game, and Chris, having played more of it, you might be able to shed some light. So when you play as a guy, you've got these four, you explain, again, I'm not going to repeat what you've said, but you explain the sort of the shared powers where you can use, like, I could use your firepower to, and yeah. there's teleportation. When you play as the female character, all four of them are different.
Yeah,
like
I'd assume so, because they're different. You have different parties,
but
because you kind of okay. in the story.
So that's
in the
what
story,
I was going to ask. Yeah,
yeah. And there's a part in that section where you pair off with two people or three. I can't remember. And then three, she goes yes. off with others who have got other abilities.
Oh, okay.
So that's why.
So could you did you get to pick?
I could have played as both, but
no. I mean, did you get to pick who you partied up with?
Oh no.
This was there any indication? Ah, okay. But that's... So, like, if you play as the guy, I presume... I mean, listen, I've only played the demo, so I'm not spoiling anything, and you know, you're allowed to talk about what you're allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
If you use the... would it be triangle or the Y button? It gives you, like, teleportation, so you can, like, go through gates that... chain link fence. Hey? Okay, so what skills did you have when you played it?
I had hyper velocity, which was, like,
okay, so that's
slow down time, like, bullet time.
That's with the female in the demo.
Pyrokinesis.
That's with the male in the demo.
Electrokinesis.
That's with the female in the demo.
And the, like, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like hard skinned, like
that's
where
with
you become
the male.
Like...
So you had two of each by the sounds of it. So presumably then it is a loadout situation where at some point when you're playing the full game you get to pick
I'd assume
your party.
So.
That's fucking cool. Because I was sort of like playing it going this, look, I'm not going to bullshit, I'm not going to beat around the bush here. Played the demo, then went straight in and played it again. I don't do that. Because I don't want to ruin, like, sometimes demos, you only need a few minutes to know if you like it. But I was like, no, I want this more. Gutted when it ended. And then I died, actually, the second time. I was like, I've got to stop. But I'm going to tell you now, if the full game is able to keep up what the demo did for me, this is going to be on my list. Like, it's exceptionally fun. It's just fun. Like, the story, I can't tell from the demo, and I didn't really want to pay any attention to it because, like, I'll find out when I play the full thing. It's exceptionally fun to just be, like, throwing cars at enemies. But it also, I loved how they incorporated the gameplay. Like, I forget the terminology they use, but, like, when you throw, you've got a triangle, or the Y button does, like, it's not a heavy attack, it's a dodge attack. You dodge away. And then you can, like, throw something at them. And if you time it right, you can get back into the battle and keep your combo going and recharge your Psy ability, whatever it is, and then throw another one. And then, because you can only do this dodge ability once per combo, you can rebuild it back into the combo so you can do it more than once a combo. It sounds really complex. But all those abilities, like, I played through as the guy first, and I had these four abilities. And then on the playthrough, there's the girl and had four different ones. I was like, oh, I kind of like the sword combat with the guy, but her combat's different. Like, it's a different combat. And I'm left wondering, can you get her weapon? You know, can you play... Like, so people are watching the footage. Like, this is... is it Yuito? He's got a sword. This is the boss battle from the demo, actually. But she's got, like, knives. Like, Chris, I'm guessing you just had the sword, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, she's got knives that seem a little more ranged. And also, it doesn't even tutorialize this in the demo, but you can go in. There's a big skill tree in the demo. And you can, like, upgrade things so that, like, you can add moves. And so it is that kind of progressive. Like, I am very, I probably, you can tell, but I am very, very
excited.
It's
a massive game. I'm expecting, like, 20 to 30 easy.
I just, it's been a long time since I've left the game and gone, oh, God, I need this now. Like, when is it out? I don't even know. It's so off my radar. I don't even know when it's out. And I'm now, like,
it's like the second week in June, I think.
Not soon enough. Yeah, I'm
around,
like,
Ratchet and Clank time, I think.
Okay, I mean, I'm genuinely, like, I'm not, you know, I'm not the hype man, but, like, genuinely, shit, like, this could be on lists. Again, it's early days. You know, you played more of it, and you seem to feel like the whole of what you played lived up to that. That's 3 hours, wasn't it? 3-4 hours.
Yeah, I can't see it being like it would definitely hit above sevens. Like, if we're having to look at it like that.
Oh,
but
Christ,
it's whether it keeps that up throughout and that story maintains its kind of momentum.
It's
because,
fascinating in terms of all, like, the
thing with, like, Japanese devs, it's like Japanese filmmakers, the science fiction is excellent.
Yeah.
Whether it's in live action or an anime, like, they are phenomenal at it. And, like, this story is an original story. Like, it's very rare you kind of get them at the minute. They're always kind of based on manga, and that's where it starts, and that's how they get their rips. But this is, like, pure, like, originality, and it's impressive.
And it does have that kind of persona hangout, like you said in the preview chat, like, where you can go and improve bonds with people, and that as you said, upgrades. So if, say, you're bonding with a person who's got the pyro ability, you can deepen that and level that up. Now, the demo only shows you, like, there's three levels, but I would imagine over the game's length, there's probably more.
And this is why it absolutely dicks on Persona when it comes to, like, the bond system, because whilst the benefits of the bond system are good in Persona, it's very, like, laborious going through conversations when they're very static, whereas you've got full-on, like,
the kind of
not animated, but they're, like, they are, every picture is different. They're all, like, beautifully animated, like, cutscenes, which are all a la visual novel, but much more than that. It's not just a character. Like I said the other week, a character doesn't just pop up and then this character pop, like in Bravely Default 2. Like, there's full-on, like, drawn scenes that are just gorgeous. And it's like that kind of science fiction undertone to it all. Like, it's, yeah, I think it's going to be special.
I hope so. I really do. And I would implore anyone, it's on Xbox, the demo at the moment, I believe, only. So I would implore you, if you've got it, to go and try it for yourself. It's one of those games, I think, like, you know, if I click this button and show you the footage, well, it looks great, but does it play as well as it looks? And for me, that was my biggest concern, is, like, is this going to feel in the controller hand sort of thing as good as it looks? For me, it does so far in a demo, preview, whatever. Chris Hyde, what have you been up to, my man? What have you been playing?
So I have, I say finished in inverted commas, I finished the first playthrough of Nier Replicant Square Root 1.5 this week.
Okay.
So yeah, did that. I had to break with what I normally do, which is do every quest. Just because it got to the point where I was like, no, I want to actually see how this is. You know, I want to actually carry on with the story, but I mean, we've said a lot about it. I've even said what I thought of my impressions of my first few hours of this game. So I don't want to go over old ground too much, but really enjoyed the story. Did jump back in to the second playthrough almost kind of straight away, a bit like Adam Carroll did. And, like, I don't know, Adam, I don't know if you have you finished it, the first playthrough?
No. It fell by the wayside for me, I'm afraid.
Okay, but it has got some clever ideas of how it tells, how it keeps stuff back, and then kind of integrates it into the kind of second playthroughs in completely different ways to how it does it in the first, which I'm really excited to kind of see and how it intertwines, because there are things in the first playthrough that it kind of not half explains, that, because that undersells it a little bit, but there's areas of, like, intrigue and mystery and stuff, and you're like, okay, they're clearly going to pay that off later and you kind of play it through. But no, I really enjoyed it. The music in that game is outstanding. I absolutely adore the soundtrack in that game. And the voice acting and writing is really good as well. Sometimes you, with games like that, where it's all like, you know, hero of the day and stuff, the when there's companions, which there are in this game, it can all feel very lovey-dovey at times. And obviously, Nier Replicant is about as far away from lovey-dovey interactions between characters you'll probably like to get with some of that writing. But what I liked most about that, not just because she F's and Jeff's, you know, till the cows come home, but it actually, there's a skill in making writing like that sound believable.
Yeah, totally.
Because you can go right off the other end when you all you're doing is like swearing or insulting a book.
Talking about Chris.
Exactly. But to make it sound believable and not, it never jarred with me. Like, I genuinely felt the frustration or the anger or whatever that was being discussed at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's quite refreshing when that lands like that. So, because that makes those characters believable. Because sometimes you have, like, you know, the moody, you know, sidekick, and they're just, it doesn't land. But this definitely did. So I was really impressed with that. And like I say, even now, I'm still sort of humming some of the tunes of the game. So that soundtrack is glorious. So I think that will at the very least be discussed towards the end of the year. But really, really enjoyed it. Want to jump back in. This won't be when I'll get the platinum on. I read ahead to some of the trophies, and you have to grow a plant that takes about 8 in-game days. And I was like, nope, that's me done. Very, very, very good. Enjoyed the combat, enjoyed the story. So yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to that, because obviously I'd been playing it, and now I've finally finished the first playthrough at the very least of that game, which I know is not the end, but very good. Is.
Yeah. Okay. But what else, mate? What else you been up to?
The other thing, I've played a couple of hours, and I seem to always pick the games that take like a ridiculous amount of time to play. So I'm an idiot. But there'd been so much talk about Disco Elysium, and obviously the final cut came out earlier this year.
Yep.
I hadn't put it off, because putting it off kind of sounds like I didn't want to play it. It was just one of those ones like I use this excuse all the time, is I haven't got the time right now. And I just thought, you know what? I'm really up for this. And there are very few. It's a bit like what you said around you finished playing the demo of Skyline X, and you're just like, whilst I was playing it, I was just really happy whilst I was playing it. And considering the world with which Disco Elysium is set in, that feels like a bit of a weird thing, because it's very, you know, it's a very kind of almost like dark, decrepit kind of.
Yeah, like, you shouldn't be smiling. Neighborhood.
No, but really, I think. First off, the writing. I know a lot's been said about the writing and how much of it is voiced is just incredible. It's very, very witty at times, and but the level of detail that's in this game is incredible. You know, on the surface, it's just this point and click, you know, detective game, you know, where you're just trying to move around and trying to solve a murder mystery. But that's very much, you know, and underplaying what's going on, because, you know, you're not just trying to solve a murder. You're trying to kind of, you're battling your own sort of, you're battling your own emotions and your own inner demons. And there's so much going on. Like, I've only played a couple of hours, two or three hours of this.
Right.
And I've only sort of wandered around the main sort of starting place, where you wake up from a boozy night, and then you kind of discover what's going on. That might make it sound really boring, but I'm having so much fun just kind of interacting with characters. You know, you piece together bits of the mystery, and then you kind of, you know, I always feel like I'm progressing, or there's some area that I can still go and investigate. And I really like, you know, there's obviously a system where you can choose your own character at the start, which, you know me, I went with, you know, nerd at the start, because it was, you know, it's me, isn't it? But from what I can gather, you could go for like a really athletic person that could maybe, you know, can solve problems that way, rather than trying to, you know, talk your way out of things or impress people with your many facts about, I don't know, Cress. But I like the way, like, you basically have a rating of all these kind of skills, don't you? But then, and then what you have to do is you kind of you roll based on your skill, and if you roll a certain number, then you succeed in, you know, talking that person, talking your way out of a problem,
quest farming
or whatever. So it's one of those things. It's such a well done game from what I've played so far. It feels immense and large and really expansive. I know, Adam, you haven't finished it. Chris,
Chris has played more than me, actually, I think.
Yeah, I've put about 20 hours
yeah,
in.
Yeah, definitely more than me. Yeah.
But wow. I haven't played it since January because like, I got it at Christmas because I just wanted to buy a game. That...
When did you get it?
Christmas.
Oh, sorry. I thought it said Christmas.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
I'll just leave.
Just give it up.
Merry Christmas, Chris.
I played it like solid for like 5 days. And like, because it's that immersive. And it wasn't because I was not enjoying it. It's just the new year happened and
something else came along.
Yeah. But like, it's phenomenal. Like everything Chris said.
It's probably the one I gave up that I wish I hadn't had to. If you know what I mean, like I say, I can't really add anything other than echo, like you've just said, Chris, but everything Chris Hyde said, everything, you know, it's fantastic. It deserves all the plaudits it got, but at the same time, do you know, I almost wonder if I would see more of it if I watched someone playing it on YouTube than actually played it myself, because it is so dialogue. I don't know. It's so dialogue heavy. It's a visual novel, really, isn't it? Not in the kind of the JRPG visual novel style. This is something else. It's a tabletop visual novel, I guess, in that respect.
Yeah, it's like a CRPG, isn't it?
Yeah,
But there's no actual combat. It's literally you talk your way out of every problem.
I guess if there is combat, it's probably roll the dice anyway.
It feels very dense, and that's what I like. Like, it's not like you're wandering around for ages and there's nothing going on.
Yes.
Ironically, very different to Nier Replicant. But like, it feels very alive, and obviously coupled with the good writing and the voice acting, it does feel, it's very immersive. Like I said, I didn't feel like, you know, I haven't really got very far, because whilst I hadn't actually geographically gone very far, I've spoken to, you know, people that are striking and little mouthy gobshites around the back of the diner. That
is a right little vile shit,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. And all this stuff. And I've done stuff and it's just like there's so many different places you could, ways and the order of which you can do it, like, and the ways in which I assume you can kind of progress, which I really like. It's not like, oh, okay, I've discovered a key, now I need to find a locked door. It's not like that at all. It feels like it's very layered in how you can go about things, which again, I love, and I'm really looking forward to progressing. I really hope it isn't one that I fall off halfway through, because it's one of those things like I don't know how it finished, and I want to know how it finished, but I want to find out for myself.
I think if you do stop, you'll find it really hard to get back into.
I'm
worried about trying, because like the amount of stuff I've been told, like I can't remember any of it now.
It's funny how I'm going to slip back into it. That character you mentioned about the kid in the where the murder scene is.
Yeah.
I wonder, would we miss a trick? Because when did it come out? I played it when it came out. That's quite memorable for that little bit. Yeah. Stick in my head. Chris knew it straight away, what you were talking about, the gobshite.
Yeah,
you know, like we maybe missed it. I don't know. I mean, it's not best moment, I suppose, but it is. It's funny. It's funny as well.
It's done well. Like you
it's
believe.
It's just well written.
Like,
full stop.
So well written and well voiced. It's really, really good. So hopefully I won't fall off of that, because I really do want to play
anything
more of
big
it.
Coming out soon. Or
there's
anything,
nothing. So. There's nothing out at the moment. There's nothing on my list. So it's fine.
Nothing
there's
coming to Switch or PS5. Nothing.
Nothing at all, which is great for me, because I just need an empty time to play games. So
which is lovely. Speaking of playing games, Chris White, you've got a couple of reviews that have gone up at the time of talking, both of which I'm excited to hear about. The first of which I have heard about for many years now, but it's now come to console because what the hell is Rust?
Rust is where people go to be vile to each other.
Oh, so a bit like Knockout City, but like if it were...
Not replace a dodgeball with...
actual penises being severed. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, like it's brutal. It's like toxicity.
Really?
Amplified, but I don't.
How so? Sorry. How do you mean? Like what's?
Like the right. So the voice chats. You've got voice channels on.
Oh.
It's blue.
blue.
And not just that, like, people kill you. Like, you think Ark is bad when you're a new player going into that.
I do think Ark is this is
much worse. And I don't think, like, I gave it a 7. I think the game itself is great. It's a good survival game. I think it still holds up to an extent. There are, like, some gameplay issues, a bit sloppy, like shooting and a bit loose and sound like a poo. A bit sloppy and loose.
Or Knockout City once again.
Or Knockout City, yeah. Yeah. But, like, it knows what it is, and it's quite smart how it goes about doing that. Like, you are thrown into the world with, like, a rock and a torch. And from there, you end up with bloody houses and guns and loads of, like, the crafting menus, when you can look through them at the start to see what you can get, and it's crazy. And it all kind of starts off with looking for trees for wood, rocks for stone, and hemp for your clothes.
They kind of all do, don't they? Like Valheim,
yeah.
Ark, that they kind of all...
They have for 30 years, to be honest.
Yeah, but
with,
like,
you.
I'm not criticising it, because, again, Rust isn't a new video game, but, like, maybe we could have perhaps a new onboarding experience for a survival game. Like Conan,
Crest
once
farming.
You've made the big willy or the big boobs, like, it's probably the same.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I know, it's a shame. But, like, the world itself, like... It's post-apocalyptic. Like, there's no real context to what's happened. There's not a huge story. You bump into weird scientists, and there's, like, big warthogs and bears, and there's, like, radiation, and, like, everything's dilapidated like it should be. Like, you can end up walking into, like you start off on the coast. You start off by the sea. And you can go inland as much as you want, and you'll find various buildings and, like, warehouses and factories and stuff where you can go in and loot, and that tends to be where all the action is. So you often hear a gunshot, and you can either go a bit further and explore or stay away. And there are also, like, you do find guns. Like, you don't have to craft guns all the time. There are, like, military kind of supplies, scarce, but they're there, and you can pick up, like, shotguns and rifles and knives and gear as well, like clothes. And then you've already got it. And even some servers let you start off with a load of stuff as well. So it just depends. But, like, the actual community, like, it feels like Mad Max. Like, you are in the Thunderdome. Like, the people don't go there to be nice. They go there to kill, and it's like the Purge. Like, it just that's how it feels to me. And, like, if you know that going in, then it's your fault you go in for it. Like, I knew about the community and like, what it was. And, like, it's not, I'm not saying it's terrible. Like, you're not getting called, like, oh, you fat wanker. Like, and you're not, like, just constant abuse, but people, like, are there ready to kill you. And I don't think I passed one person that didn't try and attack me. Even if they had a bloody rock, they would smash me, try and smash me with it. However,
that's kind of funny, actually.
On the plus side, when you have the tools to do that to them, it's amazing. Like, you see some new person.
So,
like,
you're part of the problem,
arrived.
Then, Chris.
I am. Yeah, the problem. They've just arrived, and they've got their rock, and they're smashing some trees, and you're just there with your gun. Every day you start, just popping in the.
Should it be like? Is it a song where, like, Coolio's "Gangster's Paradise" should be playing nonstop?
But should be, yeah.
But they've changed it to Griefer's Paradise.
Yeah, that would work. Yeah. I did feel like I was constantly living it. Yeah. But yeah, it's a decent survival game.
Yeah.
Go for it if you fancy it. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think people will choose to play this unless they're aware of the community and want that kind of grief.
They want to live in a Griefer's Paradise.
Yeah, but no, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. The Wild at Heart, however, it seems to be like the complete opposite, I'm guessing. And that's like, because the reason I want to talk about this is it's come to Game Pass again at the time of recording live. Looks gorgeous from the. I haven't played it, but the footage looks
really
so nice.
It really is. It's,
wish I had something to show you, but I don't. So that's not me leading into like, there's a button pressed. Nope, not happening.
Go on YouTube after our podcast.
Don't you dare leave this podcast.
Yeah, don't you dare.
Please.
Or open another window, whatever. But
no,
basically,
no. Stay here.
It's kind of like an adventure puzzler where it's hard. There's so many things it reminded me of. And that's not necessarily because it's stealing from anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many games. Like, it reminds me of Spiritfarer. It reminds me of Night in the Woods. It reminds me of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Pikmin. All these kind of tweaks to it. Like, it's a hand-drawn world. It looks kind of like I drew the comparison of where the wild things are. Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of style. And when you follow this, you follow these kids and they've run away from home. And it kind of starts off with this one lad who starts to uncover the mysteries of this place called the Deep Woods. And it's kind of maintained by these guardians. And one of your first quests is to go and find some of the guardians to bring them back to the camp. But it's also like a Metroidvania. So the main premise, you have like, Luigi's Mansion. You have like this thing called a gut buster where you vacuum up like cogs and nuts and bolts that you find.
Okay.
To then spend on certain things later on. So you've got that, but then you've also got these little things called spritelings where you can command them to do certain things for you. So you start off with like basic ones and you can throw them at like an enemy and they'll attack the enemy. You can throw them at like a rock or a bag of rubbish and they'll like go through there and try and find some materials. And there's also like certain items require a certain amount to pick up. So like you have to open this gate and you have to find this cog for the mechanism for it.
Mm.
And when you find it, it like says, five spritelings. So you throw five at it and send off five and then you can do that. There's a lot of that.
That sounds very Pikmin.
Yeah. You end up amassing quite an army of these spritelings. And
okay.
There's the normal ones, but there's ones that have like fire capabilities, ice capabilities. Like the fire ones, they burn kind of like hay bales that reveal like
very Pikmin again
objectives. They're just used for everything, and like you'll get to an area and you'll be blocked off because it requires a certain type or a certain amount. Like there's big boulders that require like 30 spritelings when you've only got 15, so you know. You'll be going back there later. And then on top of that, Dying Light, you've got the concept of nighttime.
To be the next one.
I know, but this is it. Like, you've got these things that come out at night. So you kind of, you're ushered back to a safe place.
Okay.
Like, get back to your safe place where they will attack you if they see you. And it kind of, it happens quite a lot. And it kind of is a bit off-putting when you're, like balls deep into like the next part of your objective and then you have to go back to camp. But it's not like the end of the world. And I just think it's a really, really pretty game. It's really like, it's gentle. It's not too, you know, horrific. It's quite heartbreaking, but no more than like your Pixar films or whatever. But like, it's just a really nice game. And if it's on Game Pass, then there's no reason like why you shouldn't just give it a go.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, because I feel like there's a lot of games coming out that are kind of similar to Animal Crossing now. But I don't think it is that, is it?
Didn't remind me of it at all.
No, just in terms of like, how nice it looks, I think, is all it is.
Yeah,
nice.
there's crafting, which is quite cool. Like, you can find a menagerie of items through, like, rocks, or, like, you could use shards from, like, fire shards and loads of things, and you can put them all together to create recipes like you do when you're looking for a meal in Zelda. Like, so you not only can you create like meals, you can create new items or new pieces of equipment, but you do that just by experimenting. So it's kind of that side to it. And it's just quite freeing, quite pleasant. It's just worth giving a go, I think, if it, you know, with it being on Game Pass.
Fair play. Let's do some listener correspondence. We are recording this live as usual, but we're doing it a bit earlier and on a different day. So I don't know if we're going to get anyone in the chat dropping questions, but this is your couple of minute warning. We have got one pre-written question from G-Town Steve on our Discord, which, by the way, you can be a part of if you go to patreon.com/godisageek. If you go there, you'll see all the things we offer to our supporters for a pound or a dollar or more if you fancy it. And being in the private Discord with our community is one of those bonuses, and I think maybe the biggest bonus because of how lovely all the people are. But the question from Steve is, again, that's patreon.com/godisageek. And that's, Steve says, if we went and looked in your fridge right now, what would you be most ashamed of us finding? Who wants Chris. To go first? You haven't got
Mate, I've been waiting for that for about
yeah,
an hour.
Yeah, no, that's good, to be fair. That deserved more. That deserved more than it got. That's pretty good. What would be, what's the real answer, though?
So, I'm very embarrassed about...
We called caviar?
Did he say embarrassed? he said ashamed. He said ashamed.
Ashamed. So, whether this is some, I don't know if this is to be ashamed of. It depends if people go, actually, no, I like that, so I can be, I'm part of a group. I like corned beef, right? And I don't know if that's like, that's up there with spam, right? That you just shouldn't like.
Well, hang on, slow down a minute.
Okay, all right.
You like corned beef?
Yeah.
In how are you using it? Like, what's...
Like a corned beef sandwich.
Okay, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's currently, if you open
it's just I had an image of sticking a fork in it and just saying like a lollipop, like exactly. No, so that's why I know he's not Adam Carroll, but just
it's pre-sliced. It's pre-sliced. I'm not
what
a monster.
Okay.
When I used to live with my parents, this is years ago. Did you used to get those tins where you chop it yourself? I know what you mean with the keys and stuff.
I'm not being funny, mate. You don't help yourself sometimes.
Hang on. Can I just? I buy sliced corned beef.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not the one who's like always being called Posh Chris.
No, but it's like they sell it in like Aldi. They sell it in Tesco. Yeah. They sell it in Morrison's. It's like I've never seen tinned corned beef.
If he says to me right now, in truth, honesty, and I bought it in Aldi, hands up, fair play. No, he didn't. This man's never been in Aldi.
No, I have. Aldi have some banging Christmas Aldi's stuff. Good. Like Aldi's Aldi good, for yeah. Christmas is great. Like I have to, but no.
I'd see we're the other way around. Our corned beef is the tin, so
I've had before and is lovely, but I know right now in my fridge is sliced corned beef. I have to say, I have it with sandwiches. I did try a toasted sandwich with corned beef. Don't do that. I've done it for us. It sounds like it might be right. It just goes to mush, and it's not as nice as you think it's going to be.
How are you developing this sandwich? What are you using to make the toasted sandwich?
I mean, all I'm doing is making a sandwich and putting it in a toasted sandwich maker. That's all I've done.
You are doing that. Did you butter the outsides?
Yeah. So I did the standard practice, but I didn't. That, it was literally corned beef. Like I know how to make a toast.
Yeah, no,
like,
it's just standard practice. Yeah,
but
no,
like, okay. But yeah, I've done that. That wasn't great.
I wonder if it would work. No, I was going to say, would it work if you did it under the grill? I don't think it would work any better or worse. That's a shame, because it sounds like with a bit of cheese and a bit of ketchup in there, maybe it would be...
Yeah, it just...
Yeah, no, I get why you tried it.
Yeah, just thought to try, but it wasn't that great. So maybe I'm not that ashamed. It's quite...
I was going to ask you, where's the shame from here?
Well, I thought if everyone went a bit like... I didn't know if corned beef itself had stigma like spam.
I really fancy a corned beef sandwich now. I haven't had one for so long. Fresh bread, like real chunky fresh bread.
Yeah.
I really, really could go for a corned beef sandwich.
There you go. Oh. I'm trying to think what...
That would be your go-to use of corned beef. I think this is why we have So mine would be in corned beef hash. That's why I think we've got the tin rather than the slice, because we're not sticking it in sandwiches. It's going into corned beef hash.
Yeah.
What corned beef hash is, because you're sort of just going,
I haven't had, I'll be honest, I haven't had it for so long.
Of course you haven't, Christopher. Of course you haven't.
Well, listen, was Chris White, when was the last time Chris White had corned beef hash?
I don't eat corned beef. My wife does. I hate it.
So there really? You go, Mr. Cook. So
he would never eat corned beef hash because it's got loads of beans in it.
Oh, has it? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, corned beef hash is like anyone can make it. It's mashed, but make mash over there.
Mash.
But this is what I'm saying. Oh, you would never eat this.
You don't like mash?
He doesn't like...
Oh, fucking mate, no.
Basically, it's a layer of corned beef, then beans, then corned beef, then beans, then mash on top. Cheese it up at the top. But you're never... I wouldn't... I'd imagine corned beef hash might be your hell, actually.
It would be my hell, yeah. I would never eat that. Yeah. Never.
So, I don't know. This is a funny question, because...
I've got an answer.
Oh, fair play, because I haven't.
Me. Go on,
I've got an answer. Right, so I've got chocolate in the fridge that is about 5 years old.
There's so many things wrong with this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hang on.
Yeah, there's quite a few things wrong with that.
It will never be eaten because it was bought for Mother's Day 5 years ago. It's like this little rectangular box with like I love you, Mum, and I is on a different chocolate, love is on a different chocolate. Okay. And she never ate them at the time. And then it got to a point where they'd been in there for about a month and she didn't have the heart to get rid of them. So they're now this just living there. So they're in there. And they have been for about 5 years.
Are you ashamed of it though?
I am. Okay. I wanted to get rid of them.
Well, yeah, just get rid of it then.
I'd been there.
I'm sure the kids don't even know it's there, to be honest. They never
do now
for themselves. But yeah, they'd probably do
it's
now.
It's tucked right behind something. Do you want to even get into this? Why chocolate's in the fridge in the first place?
Yeah. Why is the chocolate in the fridge?
I don't know. I don't eat. Look, it's blaming my wife. Right? This will tell you differently.
Well, yeah, I was going to say chocolate would have to. I'd have to not like it. It last long enough to make it into the fridge. Really,
the only chocolate I ever put in the fridge, if I do, would be a double decker, because I like the hardness of the different
that would
layers.
Break your mouth, not just your teeth, your jaw.
It's like cement.
I know it's a challenge.
That's a challenge. Right?
Normally, the most recent chocolate I put in the fridge, I think, was an Easter egg because I still had some left over in it. Room temperature, they just sort of
they can go back.
Cave in themselves. But like no, normally either chocolate's eaten in one go. Or you don't put it in the fridge generally anyway. So, yeah.
But I can't think of a thing in my fridge I'm ashamed of. There's probably a jar of something that should have been binned a while ago. But if this podcast has taught you and Steve specifically nothing, I clearly have no shame. So, it was a long time ago.
The bar's set so low, it's going to have to be
It's going to have to be pretty bad. Weasel Woo, and I'm going to say this how I think he's intended it. He spelt this word out, and I think he means it to be like C-R-E-S-S. C-R-E-S-S. Yeah, Chris?
I mean, we should definitely start that if that's not a thing.
He also says he's Steve's son, so perhaps he doesn't know that song because I might be too old for that song.
Okay, yeah.
Thomas K says you don't like MASH, and he's put it, but he's spelt MASH like it's the,
TV show.
But you should know this. With a fork off pod.
I know it.
No, I Tom. Don't. I've talked about it quite a bit on there. I know it's a long time ago since it was out, but you know what? Textures and stuff like that. I'm just a freak.
He doesn't like lumps, lads.
I don't like lumps. I just don't like a lot.
You know, MASH cannot have lumps in it if you do it properly.
No, but it's the texture of it. Whatever.
You like it rough, do you?
I like them hard. I like them. I like my roast. I like roast potatoes, but they have to be a certain size. I can't have too big because then there's too much MASH.
This sounds terrible.
Within the roast potato.
So you is it because you like the crispy ones?
There's Aunt Bessie's does like mini roasties. I'll eat them.
I'm annoyed that Aunt Bessie's is the benchmark that you're measuring good roast potatoes.
Yeah, disappointed. Like fluffy in the middle, really crispy on the outside. Yeah. So you have to actually cut into them, and my God, that crisp with all the.
Yeah. My wife makes absolutely banging roast potatoes. So good at them. Mm. Really, really good.
I'm sorry I offended you with my
little bit
roast potatoes.
I'm amazed we haven't got to eggs yet, so it's fine. I'm happy for someone else to have it for 1 week.
I'm not gonna bring up eggs. But Thomas K says you'll get your lumps and you'll like them too. And I want to say he was doing that when he wrote that.
Yeah. I just imagine him just like force feeding you MASH. Yeah. Maybe smash is special, like the worst kind of
Patreon
MASH.
Service if you want to force feed me MASH potatoes.
I kind of feel that that's more of an OnlyFans thing.
OnlyFans
I'm imagining you, if I remember correctly, on the Fork Off episode that we talked about beans, I think I vaguely remembered something about a bath of beans. So now I'm thinking the God is a Geek OnlyFans is you naked except for a pair of socks in a bath of beans being force-fed mashed potato
with Kresh just gently falling
dream about
only a few times a week. That's a podcast for this week. I think we'll be back next week, not same time. I nearly said same time. Well, if you're watching this afterwards, same time, but if you're watching this live, we'll be back on the usual day. Things are happening behind the scenes in personal lives that are a bit like up in the air at the moment. So we'll mm-hmm. do our best, but we should be back to the normal Thursday slot live, and then Monday will always be the podcast day from now on. Well, not always from now on. I mean, just yeah. I mean, it's on YouTube. You can watch it when you want, you know. But if you go to patreon.com/GodIsGeek, where you can get it early. And yeah, come join us. Come join our lovely community. And yeah, follow us on Twitter at GodIsAGeek everywhere, on all the social medias. And there's some cool stuff coming up soon. Some big games are coming, and in terms of like AAA and in terms of size of them. So yeah, make sure you stay tuned to GodIsAGeek.com. And Chris, thank you both for being here. It's always appreciated.
Thank you. Cheers, and mate.
To everyone else, we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.